Hey, greetings everybody, it's Brother Tupos, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you are doing well, having a good day. We arrived at a new town, drove through some storms today, and I want to bring you, praise God we made it safe, I want to bring you another installment of my Philippians verse-by-verse Bible study. We're in Philippians chapter 1. Today we're going to do verses 15 through 19. Go back to DontParish.com, look for the verse-by-verse tab, and you can get caught up at all the different verse-by-verse studies. I hope you join right in with us here. Philippians 1, starting with verse 15. Let's get right to it. Brother Paul says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. All right, so Paul's talking about the motives, the mindset, the heart condition of some of these people that are out doing ministry in Christ. And this is an area of scripture where I've heard many, many, many people say that Paul is saying, well, it's okay if people are teaching Jesus Christ falsely, as long as they're out preaching Jesus Christ. That's not what this means at all. Brother Paul would never approve of false doctrine. He would never approve of false teaching. That's not what this is about. If we look at the context, always look at the context, we're going to find out what Paul's talking about here when he says, some indeed preach even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. It's the intent of the preacher, the street preacher, the man teaching, whatever ministry he's doing. It's not Paul saying, oh, false teachers are out there no matter what. At least Jesus is being proclaimed. No, it doesn't say that. In verse 14, Paul mentioned some of the men were emboldened by his imprisonment. And then here in 15, he's commenting how some of the others that preach Christ are doing it out of suspect ways, envy, strife, and then he says some out of goodwill. So we know the context of this. It's the heart and the motive of the person, not the doctrine and the truth of the gospel. It's the motive that Paul is questioning, not the doctrine or the gospel. Otherwise, Paul never would have stood for that going on whatsoever. Go read Apostle Paul everywhere else in the New Testament. He never would have stood for false teaching, false gospel, false Jesus. Go read Galatians 1, false gospels. Go read 2 Corinthians 11, false Jesus, false gospels. Paul never would have went along with that. So they're totally taking that out of context and not studying it rightly. But as we go along here, you're going to see what Paul's talking about. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. All right, so let's take this verse apart. Preaching Christ of contention, all right? And that word contention means faction in the Greek. And what it really leans towards is someone that is self-motivated, self-promoting. They cause faction because they've got ulterior motives to lift themselves up. We see a lot of preachers, ministers online, modern pastors. We see a lot of that today. And that's what Paul's talking about here. They're preaching out of a contention. And then he says, not sincerity, hagnos in the Greek. It means motives that aren't pure and honest. So think about that. You have somebody handing out biblical gospel cards. You have somebody preaching a biblical gospel. You have someone lifting up the biblical Savior, but their motives aren't pure and honest. That's possible, isn't it? Absolutely is possible. That's what Paul's dealing with here. And so understand the context, and we'll see that Paul's not promoting false teaching going out, and that's okay. Paul's saying these men have bad motives, all right? And then he says, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. Afflictions. It means in the Greek, a pressure, a burden, a tribulation. All right? And so an example of this could be men see Paul in jail and they pick up their preaching and their efforts in an attempt, I don't know what it was, to compete with Paul, to show that they're as good as Paul, maybe better than Paul, whatever it may be. We don't know exactly. And what this is showing is the ill heart of these men as they're operating in contention, strife, and envy. It's not of the Father. The Father is not about confusion. The Father is not about this type of ministry, but Paul's calling these men out for it. And he says that they were supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. So these men were trying to do something against Paul. Isn't that interesting? Huh. A lot of flesh involved back then. Hey, there's a lot of flesh involved today. I mean, we are human beings. We're flesh and bone. We have a lot of flesh to kill, a lot of flesh to deal with, don't we? We do. Let's move on. Verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So Paul makes the counter. First, he's talking about these men of envy and strife and contention. And then he says, but there's others doing it in love, which is the right way, the biblical way to do it, of the Father, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So Paul's got a mixed bag here. He's got people that are trying to maybe do things against him. He's got people working in strife and envy. He's got people working in love, in unison with the gospel. That's a beautiful thing. And he says, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I like that. Remember, when we're dealing with this contention, God sees the heart and he judges. And Jesus told us, it's out of the heart that all things flow. So remember that. When you see somebody doing something that's a wrong motive in ministry, unless they're totally clueless about a doctrine they don't know and they're preaching it, their ill motives are coming from their heart. Jesus told us that. Matthew 12, 34, 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good of things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speak. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So it all comes from the heart. You know, if you got a bad mouth and you swear, it's not your lip problem, it's your heart problem. That's what he's talking about here. And again, he says he's set for the defense of the gospel. Well, Paul's being a great example. We're always to be ready to defend the gospel truth, right? Otherwise, it loses its value. Is that not true? If we don't defend something, doesn't it lose its value to us? If we lost our wallet, let me give you an example. If you had a wallet with your driver's license and your important cards and some money and you lost it and you went, could care less. Has it lost its value to you? There's no value to it then. But if you go, oh no, I lost my wallet. I got to find that. Otherwise, I got to replace all that stuff. Now it's got value to you. You're ready to find it, defend it, to keep it. Reminds me of what Jesus said, Matthew 6, 21. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So if you don't defend the gospel, where's your treasure? Is it in truth? It's a good question. Where is our treasure? The Bible tells us to hate every false way. So that means we should defend the truth very vehemently with all that we are. It reminds me of one of my favorite verses, Jude 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I like that. Contend for the faith. It's once delivered. We don't need it re-delivered. We don't need it delivered again. We need it defended and proclaimed. That's what Jude is telling us. And Paul says, I'm ready for the defense of the gospel. Later in this chapter in Philippians, he's going to tell us, whether I live or to die, I'm going to magnify Christ. He's going to be a great example to us when we read that. Verse 18. Then what? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, I will rejoice. Okay, so here's the verse that a lot of people say, see, even if it's false teaching, Paul rejoiced in it. That's not what he's saying. Let's take this apart. So he says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense. So pretense in the Greek means an outward showing or a cloak. It's basically false. Pretense. You put something on, like if a man pretends to be have boldness, but he's really a coward. If someone pretends to be loving, but they really backstab you and despise you, pretense, right? So we see these people had pretense. They were false. And then he says, or in truth. Now, you say, well, doesn't that mean Paul says, hey, they can either lie or they can tell the truth, and he rejoices that Christ is being preached? No. What that means is that truth means the meaning of their hearts, not their doctrinal position. We just go back and read the previous verses. The context has shown these men have issues about why they're preaching and doing what they're doing. Not the doctrines, not who Christ is, not the gospel, their motives behind it. That's the main thing that Paul is concerned about. And again, I could give you a whole bunch of verses to show how Paul lifts up truth and the doctrine. He's not going to back down and compromise just so people can go and preach a false Jesus, just to say, well, a Jesus is being preached. No, Paul's not going to do that. Many verses like this, 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. See, brother Paul said, withdraw from such men. He didn't say, oh, I'm thankful that the gospel is just going out anyway. Right? You see that? So always study the context of what you're talking about. And the context is always going to show you the meaning behind it. If we get out of context, we're going to get out of the meaning that's intended by the writer and by God and the Holy Spirit. So Paul's not approving of false teachers. He's approving of teachers teaching Jesus with false motives. What Paul is really doing here, he's being selfless, because these men were clearly like attacking or against him. And Paul is still rejoicing, even if they had bad motives, even if they tried to hurt him, he's still rejoicing that Christ, the gospel, is going forth. So what that shows you is the gospel is bigger than Paul. It's way bigger than me and you. It's way bigger than every man. And so we need to rejoice when people are biblically proclaiming the gospel and pointing people to a biblical savior, even if those people have issues. I'll talk about this a little bit along the way, like Paul is talking about. And I think the main thing that Paul's talking about here is these men's works in their ministry. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So I think that this is really talking about ministry. And why do I believe that? Because in the context of this and the work Paul's talking about, then he goes in 1 Corinthians 9:1, he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Yeah. So Paul's work was his laboring. I think that's what he's talking about with these other men. Those type of works are going to be tested, Paul was saying. They're not going to get away with anything. None of us are going to get away with anything before God. Everything's going to be revealed. Our motives, why we're doing things, because we're mean-spirited and we want to look superior to everyone, or we truly want to see people come to salvation and redemption in Christ. It's all going to be revealed. If people do works that have a wrong motive, it's going to be burned up, meaning ministry works. Or if they're total false converts and they're preaching out of a total false pretense and they're not even born of God, well, they're not even going to make the kingdom. That's pretty evident. And I wanted to talk about this for a minute. So I can relate to Paul, and I understand what Paul's talking about, because I've kind of had the same thing happen to me. And I won't go into all the details, but I've been united to men very close. And then things happen that they have done that are out of order, not consistent with God's character and nature, not necessarily blatant sin against doctrine, but just dealings and how they do things and how they minister. And it caused a rift and a separation in the unity and the body. And because there was no repentance, and I couldn't walk with them any longer, we're no longer united. Now, so I question, this is where I'm going with this. I question those men's motives in their heart about why they did certain things, why they didn't repent, why they didn't back up and handle things differently. But you know what? If I knew that these men were biblically preaching Jesus, were telling the biblical gospel, were pointing people to sound doctrine, they weren't stumbling, they weren't lying, they weren't deceiving. If I knew they were out doing that, I have to rejoice that Christ, the biblical gospel, and the doctrines of his word are being proclaimed, even if I look at those men and I go, what? I can't believe they're doing that when they did this just right here and they acted this way. I really question their motives. Is this exactly what Paul's talking about here? Paul's in jail. Men are out preaching Jesus, not false doctrine. Paul says, some of them got envy, strife. Some of them are doing it because of this, because of that. I question that. But then Paul ends up saying, but I rejoice that Christ is being preached. So I have to, the gospel, I'm no bigger than the gospel. Paul was no bigger than the gospel. I have to say the same thing. And over the years of ministry, I've had lots of that. And you know what? Maybe there's people that knew me and we had differences and they may look at me and we're not united anymore. And they may say, well, you know, he's got a biblical gospel and I don't see anything wrong with his doctrine, but I don't like how he did that or he did that. And maybe they look at me and they go, but praise God, he's still out there preaching Christ and he's not teaching people falsely. I don't know about his motives. If they would have asked me, I would have told them, I guess. And not guess, I know I would have. So I'm just sharing with you some real world experience, how I can understand what happened to Paul because I've had these experiences. Sister Amon's had these experiences with sisters what we aren't united to anymore. And so this is what happens when there's ill motives get involved in the proclamation of the gospel or ministry or serving God. And so Paul appears to be saying that very thing. He saw issues with some of these people, how they're doing ministry, but he still rejoiced that the gospel and Christ was being proclaimed. I have to do the same thing. That's a big flesh killer. It is. It's a big flesh killer. But we got to do it because we see Paul doing it. And Christ being lifted up is the most important thing. As long as it's not a false gospel, as long as it's not in false doctrine, as long as it's not in deceiving people, we need to rejoice that the truth is going out. Those men with those issues are going to be dealt with God. I did my best to deal with them. They'll be dealt with by God. Last verse, verse 19. For I know now that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. All right, so Paul has this confidence about the prayers of the saints in Philippi. That's awesome. And of course, he has the confidence of the Spirit of Christ working for his cause, right? Romans 8, 28, all things work to good to them that love God. The word salvation here in Greek, soteria, I think here in the context, it doesn't so much mean like eternal salvation, like being cleansed of your sin and going to be with the Father in his kingdom. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, man, I think that this is more leaning to Paul was hoping that he would be released from the Roman jail. And there's evidence, I'll share it with you, that he was. And I think that Paul was thinking that was going to be his salvation. Here's the thing, a little bit of backstory. Roman citizens, which Paul was, could only be held as prisoners for up to 2 years without a trial and a conviction. And there's evidence that Paul was right at the time of that two-year release. And we can know that from Acts 28, verses 30, 31. And Paul dealt 2 whole years in his hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So even though Paul was in jail, they gave him freedom, right? They couldn't really charge him with anything that he had broken the law at. And so Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he had a great hope. And that hope is what? In Christ, in the gospel, in the word, in the spirit. And also it sounds like he had hope of being freed so that he could go and do more ministry, go be with the saints again, maybe go proclaim in more journeys. Or we're going to read, coming up in the verses right after this study, the next study, we're going to read what Paul talks about. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a great example Brother Paul was to all of us. I want to be that example like Paul. I hope you want to be that example, whether we live, whether we die, whether we're in prison, whether we're free, no matter our circumstances, let us live and do it all for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. And this area of scripture is a great reminder, like as I just shared with you, my experience with men that I have had. None of us are bigger than the gospel. We can't let our flesh get involved in this. And I'll go so far as to say this. I'm sure that there's people in my past, I know this is true, they didn't like who I was. Now, they couldn't correct my gospel. They couldn't correct my doctrine because I believe I'm preaching the biblical gospel and teaching sound doctrine. But they didn't like who I was for whatever reason. People call it personality differences. I'd have done it this way. You did it that way. And I've had the same things with other people and said, you know, wow, why did you do that? You know, and for me, I don't know about other people. They've separated from me on other reasons than just sin and false doctrine. I've seen that over and over. I personally won't separate from a brother unless it's over sin or false doctrine. But I've looked at brothers and I've said, how can you defend those wicked people? You defended them and you threw God's people to the curb, basically. How can you do that? And when there's no repentance for that, then it becomes a situation where you can't walk together because you don't have unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10, you're not speaking the same things in one mind. If you can defend false teachers and throw God's people to the curb, which is what happened not too long ago with our little fellowship of people that I'm talking about here, if you can do that and you just, you know, keep going, oh, well, I made a mistake, I did something wrong, and you repent and you keep going, you repent to yourself, not to the people you did it to or to the people that are affected by it. There's something wrong with that. And here's my point. Can't let flesh get involved. Okay? So that hurt us in the flesh. We got to let it go. We got to move on. Paul was obviously hurt in, I don't know if I would say his flesh, but Paul was obviously affected by these men. Something was rubbing him the wrong way in the spirit. Maybe it wasn't flesh at all. And that he had to deal with that. But guess what? He had to let it go. He had to say, hey, Christ is being preached. I don't see any fault in them. I don't see any error in them, in their doctrine. Maybe how they're doing, maybe their motives. I question their motives, right? So just some things to think about. Maybe you've had those experiences as well where you're dealing with people. You can't quite put your finger on something, but something's not right. Paul had that problem too. So we have to rise above that. We have to keep the gospel as our focus. The gospel and Christ is everything. Spirit, the word of God. And we can't get, sometimes we can't get caught up in all of these minutiae of all these other details that we can't solve. Like I couldn't solve that thing, those things I described to you. I had to let it all go and just walk. Had to let them go and had to walk. I couldn't solve it. I can't. I'm not God. I can't solve it. I can't change men's hearts and minds. And so Paul can't do that either. And so we got to let those things go and focus on, last point, focus on first things first. Most important things, most important, and that is the gospel, Christ, the word, the spirit, and yeah, we're going to love the brethren, lift them up and support them until we get to a place where we don't have unity, we're not sure what they're doing, what their motives are. That's going to cause division, as we see here with Paul. So let's not let that be so among us. I hope you're striving in the gospel. I hope this has blessed you. Next time, we're going to pick up and keep going, starting at verse 20. And this chapter and this book just keeps getting better and better. Hey, we are headed down the gospel road. We're close to a few preaches this weekend. Hopefully, if the Lord wills, they're going to turn out. Could be some really interesting ones coming up. We're hoping that they go well for us. But you know what? God will be glorified, and I believe our motive and our intent is pure. The intent is the redemption. The intent is the gospel. The intent is to glorify Jesus Christ. We're not popular. We're not making money. We're not making friends and favor. We're just lifting up Christ. He is so worthy. Hey, we love you all. Go out and have a glorious day. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. Repent by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn from all your sin. Be born again by the Spirit of God. Walk in holiness and obedience. Cleanse your heart and your mind, ye sinners, James says. Don't be a friend of the world and walk in endurance to the end. And let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.